Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Memphis Grizzlies. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you as always by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app, earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Do we have enough sample size to know what your team is like when down by 17 in the third quarter of games?
Clearly. I mean, there's clearly enough sample size. It's all roses, right? No, hey, we've been down a couple of times now. We were down in game in the first game in Indy by 11 at the start of the fourth or right around that time frame and came back and had a chance to win. We were down again yesterday, came back, gave ourselves a chance to win, and we're able to win, you know, down double figures or close to it against Milwaukee. So I'm encouraged by that. Like, you've got to be able to play this way in the pros. Like, there's going to be swings. There's going to be runs. You've just got to be able to stay the course and give yourself a chance at the end.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of carryover and the next game is the next game. But if you're going to have a game like that, is it better to have it early in the year to sort of instill that, like, know that this group can, you know, you fight, you do the right things and you play the right way, you can have a win like that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that you do build belief in those circumstances. You don't want to make it a habit of falling behind, which we've been behind by 9, 10, or more in every game we've played thus far. So that's something that we need to make sure we do a better job of managing the early parts of the game. We've been good in the fourth quarters thus far, which is encouraging, with the exception of the Milwaukee game. I guess the Brooklyn game didn't really count by the time the fourth quarter rolled around. But in the last two games, I think we've been pretty good in the fourth. And so we just need to keep building off of it. We need to keep getting better, and we need to keep trying to maximize as many of these 48 minutes as we can.
You said you were more handsy last night. That's the term you used. And it was obviously talking about forcing steals and the turnovers in the fourth quarter. But what exactly did you mean when you used that term? And here's why I asked that, because Max, anyone that's listened to us for years know that Max has preached not using your hands as a principle of playing defense. He talks about it quite a bit, that when he sees guys with their hands, he knows that's not real defense. So what is the contrast between how you meant that and what our audience used to hearing?
And maybe Max, and I would have to ask Max this, but I'm guessing he means hands of the person who is the primary defender.
Yes.
We were active with our hands away from the ball. Jeff Teague got his hands in on other guys driving. We tipped from behind a couple of times in that little run. Jalen was a help defender on that last play where he got the layup in transition and was able to be in perfect body position and just swipe the ball away. So it was really a matter of just playing with great effort, playing with multiple efforts, and staying in the play in a lot of cases. And in some cases, being in great position where you can, you know, utilize a swipe, utilize your length and create a turnover. So that's what I meant when I was talking about that. I agree with the fact that on the ball, you got to be careful reaching. You got to be careful not extending your arm, because those are easy fouls and easy ways to get beat in the NBA at any level, really.
Without stoking the fire of the engine of the Peyton Pritchard hype train, because fans are doing what they do and it's great. And they've seen him make shots, but what to you is standing out? Is it the decision-making, the defensive stuff? What to you are you seeing that's earning him those minutes?
Well, it seems pretty obvious, right? Like, as far as, like, he's a really good player. He knows how to play. He makes shots when he's open. He doesn't make double clutch shots from the corner quite as well yet, but at least he was, like we said yesterday, in bounds when he caught it. So there was a
big plus.
Yeah, but I think that what he did yesterday, which he hasn't done, which is somewhat tough to do when you're playing with Teague as two primary ball handlers, was he took over some stretches of the game as the primary ball handler. He pushed the ball up the court, got us into easy offense. He played off double drags like Kimba does and made the next right play. He was really, really poised with the ball when he came off those, didn't force anything at the rim, kept his dribble alive, and just did a lot of good things. In a lot of ways, was a primary creator for our whole team in those stretches. And so that's what's really encouraging, right? It's really hard to play at this level. It's much easier to play a role than it is to be a primary creator. And so to have him do that in a game against Indiana, and our other guys, like, looking at him like, hey, go do your thing and see what it yields for the rest of us, I think that was that's a good thing for him.
The Grizzlies had that year last year, made the run of the playoffs. Ja, who won't play tonight, had the tremendous rookie of the year type year. And it's funny, they made moves to bolster their bench, but what was it, which is what I thought was interesting about last year, that Ja got the attention and he deserved it. But it seemed like they made that run last year because of the guy we're going to see a lot tonight, Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, Melton. That group off the bench is what almost got them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that group's really good. Brandon Clark was a heck of a pick. He's a great roller. He plays in the seams. He's got beautiful touch, 15 feet and in. He's extended his shot to the three-point line. Tyus Jones is a guy that I just think is steady as steady gets, right? He provides great pressure on the ball defensively. He's one of the best steals creators in the NBA. He's good with the floater. He can catch and shoot. So those guys can really help set a tone for them, usually off the bench. I'm sure Tyus will start tonight, but Brandon and the different look that they can give you with him, you know, they'll play him with Gorgui Dieng. And, you know, a lot of teams in the league will roll the five to the rim and space the four. Brandon rolls to the rim and Gorgui spaces the floor at the five a lot. And so it puts your team in a little bit of a unique circumstance. It makes you decide what you're going to do with certain matchups and how you're going to play. And so it's a really well-coached, well-organized team, and it's got a lot of good players.
As the head coach, I was thinking about this. Does landing at Hanscom last night and driving into the Garden today, is that the closest thing to normalcy you have had in the, as far as like a 12, 18-hour stretch?
Not at all.
Really?
And I'll say not at all. Here's why. We had to go to the Auerbach Center and do our testing.
Right.
So instead of a normal back-to-back where we would just all show up here at 5 o'clock and do a walkthrough on the court before we allowed both teams to come out and shoot, we actually had to meet at the Auerbach Center at 3:30, and we just did our film and walkthrough there. And so it's a totally different scenario with the testing protocols that we're all going through. We're all learning and navigating this. We got in at a reasonable time, and you know, back-to-backs are a part of the game. I talked yesterday, like, we want to be great on back-to-back. Every team's got them. Somebody's going to be really good at them. Somebody's not going to be very good at them. Let's be one of the teams that's really good at them.
I've always found this segment has been fine on the second night of back-to-backs. I've never noticed any kind of drop-off or...
Yeah, did you travel a lot yesterday?
Well, I try to simulate it. By just, you know, did. I don't talk to anybody like during the, when I should be on the plane, you know, just shut everything off and try to simulate what it would be like to be on a flight in that time. It's the best we can do to try to, you know, create for our fans.
You stay up? Well, I know you stayed up. You like
Stay
up. Yeah, you're up. You're up anyways.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
That's good. You know, well, yeah, we'll try to, just keep thinking that way because I don't want you to fall off this pace.
I won't. The second we're allowed to come back on the plane, Max and I will be, you know, we'll be right back in the rhythm of things.
We look forward to that.
We do snacks. I bring him food, stuff like that. The whole, just, you know, you got to simulate the entire experience.
That's good. What are the snacks? Are they better than the ones we have on the plane?
Same ones we've stolen from the plane for the last couple of years. That's basically our entire cabinets are full of stuff we've taken. That's basically how we survive.
They're still sitting in the bag.
Exactly.
Then you go use the mouthwash from the hotel right after that.
That's all right. Lots of towels and soap and all that stuff like that that we've hoarded for just such an emergency. So it's all worked out. Celtics and Grizzlies next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.